Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A recap on some of the points I talked about yesterday, just in case it be considered that I got a bit too extreme. I was talking about the psychology of God. Who can talk about the psychology? We can. We can. It's given the Krishna. Certain things cause him happiness, some things cause him unhappiness. He's very happy when devotees sing and dance with love for him. He's Rasika Shekhar. He is the topmost enjoyer of rasa, of everything enjoyable. He sits on a throne, everyone glorifies him, no one can shake him from his position. He's glorified, young Brahma, Varun, Indra, Rudra, and he's glorified in so ways. He's at the highest level of happiness possible. But so when I said that he was unhappy in Vaikuntha, Dwaraka, Ayodhya, Mathura, all these places, not really. No, he's not unhappy. He's not unhappy. There are other phases of his enjoyment. Yet, we see that when Gopakumar went to Vaikuntha on his journey, where was the beginning of his journey? Where did he start from? Did any of you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? No, he started off in Govardhan. And where did he end up? He went all through. He went to, I can't remember all the places. He went to Puri and different places. I mean, and then he went to different parts. He went to Brahmaloka, and then he, all through the spiritual, went to Vaikuntha, went to Ayodhya, went to Dwaraka. Where did he end up at the end? Govardhan. Did you read that? You read that. He went from Govardhan and he went back to Govardhan eventually, after going through everything else. So he went to Vaikuntha and he was very happy. No one's unhappy in Vaikuntha. And the devotees there were very happy to see him. He was very happy to see them. They could understand. He's a devotee. They were trying to tell him, you should take off that cowherd boy dress, because he came from Govardhan and he was attached. He had some attachments to his previous life. He, even though he went to Vaikuntha, he couldn't give up his attachment to the dress he wore in this world. That's because he's Gopakumar. That's just not his name. You can, if you have a son, you can call him Gopakumar. You can call anything. Here they're more likely to call Sentil Kumar, right? Or this. But if you're in North India, Vrindavan, in Orissa, that's quite a common name they give to young boys. Gopabandhu, a name for Krishna. So he was actually... That's his internal position. So no one objected until he got to Vaikuntha. Because in Vaikuntha, why should you have such a simple dress? A simple dress of, first of all, something to do with the material world in their estimation. And it doesn't fit in with Vaikuntha. It just doesn't fit. Because why should anyone there have anything less than the Supreme Lord himself? Everyone has opulent clothing, everyone has an opulent dwelling, every male has a wife who's as beautiful as Lakshmi, almost. So they enjoy at the same level as the Supreme Lord himself. And of course, enjoyment means, what does Charvak say? Ghee. So there must be cowherd boys there also, but at least must be someone looking after the cows, right, and milking them. There's no dalder in Vaikuntha. It's not imaginable. Only the best ghee. Wait, what's the best ghee you can get? Hard to say. I tell you, long ago I went to Tongji in Burma. And, now I'm getting a bit off topic here. But it's a very rainy area and lots of green hills and forests. And I was staying in the house of a man called Ganesh. He was interested in Krishna consciousness. So his business, because there's quite a large Indian community there, Burmese don't like milk. Burmese means they're Burmese and Shans and Chins and so many different, but none of them like milk. These Mongoloid people, you can say. But the Indians, they like milk. So his business was a milk dairy business, and he had a sweet shop. And he had ghee, and I never tasted any milk like the milk there. Either Nabhuto Nabhavishyati. I doubt if I, now probably it's all mechanized, the dairy business there, probably. But they used to take, it's a very hilly area and jungly area. It's just the beginning of the jungles. If you go in a little bit, I think they're the Shans, there's the Shan state, they live in the jungle and they fight the Burmese government. It's a family tradition, they've been doing it for hundreds of years. So they take the cows out every day and they walk in the forest, in the hills, which gives them good exercise. So many, they don't just eat grass, they eat all the different herbs and the desi guy, the indigenous cows. And the taste of that was, so I can remember up to the present time. I was always very fond of milk, but I was only there for one day. That was my schedule. I only got 7 days visa at the time. So what kind of ghee do they get in Vaikuntha? It must be the best, but we hear the Vaikunthavasis, Gopakumar came and they weren't forcing him, but they felt it's a little incongruous. Maybe you can go out and look after the cows, but at least when you come in the presence of Vaikunthanas, then you should dress decently. Have you ever heard that? Dress decently. I don't know if you ever heard that. My mother used to say, the hippies, they would deliberately dress in ways which are not considered very decent. Decent means suit and tie, at the best. We see also that Gopakumar, when he went to Narayan, he wanted to embrace him, but then, no, you can't do that. And Narayan, he's also feeling, yeah, I'd like to, but I can't. Can't do that. So it's something like we have here Sri Vaishnavas. They worship the Lord in that way, in great opulence. And they like us, but they can't really work us out. We like Radha. Yeah, we heard about that. We have our Andal. All the same, right? Not exactly. They have a little entrance into this. And if you go you get a little west to Udupi, the Madhvas, they're so much fixed. No, Radha. We don't discuss with them at all. Better not to discuss. We can be happy knowing they're happy like that, but there's no use to discuss. We don't even discuss among ourselves hardly all these topics. So it's true, the Supreme Lord is supremely happy in Vaikuntha. It'd be ridiculous to say otherwise. But I did say yesterday, right? Even in Dwarka, he's unhappy. Well, it says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we're not going to argue with Sanatana Goswami. At night he's crying, calling out for the cows. Where are my cows? So he is also. He's Satchidananda Vigraha, the very form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. But somehow he's unhappy also. We don't, it's a chintya. We can't understand it. He is fully blissful, but he's unhappy because he's happy. What a strange person. He's in Vrindavan, there's always pain and difficulty and suffering, and most of the time he was simply feeling pain because I'm not with Radha. And then he goes to Dwarka and he has all nice queens, he can live with them all day, every day, no problem, everything very nice. But then he's thinking, actually, I want to go back to Vrindavan, but they won't let me. He wasn't actually thinking, but he was at night in his dreams. It's the subliminal desires came up, what the psychologists, they study. His So, yeah, anyway, what can we understand? It's inconceivable. We can't the psychologists, they try to understand psychology, what people are thinking, how they are thinking, why they are thinking. You know, different schools of psychology, which means it's not really a science in the same way as a hard science like chemistry. But they have some insights. Srila Prabhupada writes, I believe, in Ishopanishad commentary, he writes that the psychologists have insights into the working of the human mind. They have some insights, but we can't really understand anyone fully. Even husband and wife who understands each other so very well. Fully, we don't know. The husband, he's so nice, but he has his private life. Oh, he had home, he's the husband, and then he goes off to the bar, and he's a different person in the bar with his, or at the billiards, where they, the billiards hall. He relates completely. He's like a different person. And Krishna, he takes different forms, and he's like a different person. Ram is not like Krishna. He's like a different person. So we may take different, in different situations, we behave differently. But Krishna, he does so all the time. He has different forms to enjoy in different ways. So this much we can understand. But how much can we understand? He understands everything about us. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha. He's within everyone's heart. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishani chabhutani natvang veta paranta. Nachamam veta paranta. What is the last line? Mam tu vedana kaschana. No one knows me. I know everything past, present, and future. But no one knows me. No one can know him fully. Our whole endeavor, going through all the Vedas, Puranas, Vedaishasaravarahameva Vedaha. In all the Vedas, Krishna to be known. And then we'll say, actually, you can. Avang Manasa Gochara. He's beyond the understanding of the words and mind. And I mean, well, why bother? Why bother? What's the point? You're trying to understand and you can't understand. Well, if you say that, then you either end up in the material world or you end up in the Brahma Jyoti, which is worse. Or you end up in Vrindavan. But to go to Vrindavan, You have to go to get to Braj Leela. You have to go through 9 cantos of Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, we're told, Pipita Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, drink this rasa. But first, there's a lot of tattvagyan also to understand before that. So we shouldn't try to understand God, okay? Don't try to understand God. The whole Bhagavad Gita, everything to understand God. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita about this? Ahaṁ sarvasya prabhava matah sarvaṁ pravartate iti matvā bhajante māṁ buddhā bhāva samanditāha. We can understand in this much. Everything comes from Him. He's the source of everything. Knowing this, we can worship Him with love. And that love is the key. And Krishna goes on to explain. How are we going to understand Him? How are we going to get to that platform? That Buddha Bhava. What's the next verse after that? Come on, you all know it. Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katyantas chamang nityam tashanti charamanti cha. We have to associate with devotees who are already in that bhava, and they will discuss about Krishna and enlighten each other and be happy in this way. And still, if we don't, the buddha bhava, there's intelligence and there is feeling. So we may have feeling, we don't have the intelligence to understand all these things. Then, what's the next verse after that? Teisham satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayanti te. If we still we're not intelligent, then anyway you worship Krishna. Understand, don't understand, worship Krishna with love and Krishna will give you the intelligence by which we can come to Him. So we have to try to understand Him. And when we understand that we can't understand Him, then we've understood Him. And if we think we've understood Him, then we haven't understood Him. It's like Buddhism, isn't it? You can't say it is, you can't say it isn't, you can't say it both is and it isn't. You can't say it neither is or it isn't. Maybe Buddha was right also. Well, in some extent. You just apply it to Krishna consciousness and it makes sense. Jananta eva janantu kimba hukta chame prabho. Manasa vachasa va pi vaibhavang tavagochara ha. Brahma said to Krishna. Some people may say, yeah, I know, yeah, Krishna, yeah, I know everything about Him. But as far as I'm concerned, with my intelligence, and He's got 4 heads, and they're all better than Einstein's, much better. As far as I'm concerned, with all my intelligence, and all my endeavors, and everything I do, I can't even begin to understand even a little bit about your opulence. And that's only about His opulence. What to speak of His love? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was describing, you'll find, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing to Sanatana Goswami about the opulence of Krishna, how the universes emanate from Him and all that. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just forgot he was supposed to be teaching Sanatana about the opulence of Krishna. And then he just started talking about Vrindavan and all these things. He forgot. That's His real opulence. And that's the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is teaching us to go hold on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and He will take us to Vrindavan. So I was saying there are a few points need to be clarified. I've been talking about the pain of how in Vrindavan there's pain. It's paradoxical. Everything in Vrindavan is paradoxical. That's why we can't understand it. Do you all know what the word paradox means? Probably not. The nearest equivalent you have in Sanskrit or in Hindi is dvidha. You can't, it's this way and it's that way and you can't work it out. Krishna is the greatest person, he's the most moral person as Rama, and he's the most immoral person as Krishna. Same person. It's a paradox. You can't understand it. You can't understand it, I can't understand it. The gopis of Vrindavan aren't even slightly interested in understanding it. When Uddhava comes and tells them all this philosophy, they're not in the all telling them about Krishna, actually he's supreme, he's in your hearts, he's all pervading. They're not interested in understanding it. What is all this nonsense? Well, just bring us Krishna, all this talk about him being supreme. Okay, let him be supreme, but we want him now, here. And don't try and discuss it with the gopis. So is pain. Vrindavan Leela is full of pain. There's no pain in Vaikuntha. There's no anxiety. It's all bliss. And in Vrindavan, it's all bliss, but the bliss is suffering. And we started off, what is that? The Vedic part, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now we've understood that everything in this world is miserable. We should try to get out of this miserable material world. That's the beginning of the real Vedic path, Vedanta. We've been through all the Vedas. Atato Brahma Jignasa. I've been through all the Vedas. You've been looking for Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Now look for Moksha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Mayavadis of Varanasi who are interested in Moksha and maybe very advanced on the path. He told them that Krishna Vishayak Prem Parampurusharta Jar Age Chunatula Chari Purusharta. After so many lifetimes of doing dharma, artha, and kama, you came to the point of moksha. That's the highest point. Most people don't get anywhere near moksha, even in many lifetimes. So you're on that path, but what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had realized, or is living, he is Premavatara. He is the living, he is Krishna Chaitanya. He is Krishna consciousness personified. He is Krishna consciousness. He is Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna consciousness at the highest level of prema. So what he told the Mayavadis is that this love of Krishna is the highest purusharta in the Vedic path. There is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And the highest purusha, they're all called purusharthas, the real necessity of human life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that love is the highest. No, come on, what are you talking about? That's just karma. That's what binds you in the material world. Why did you take sannyas if you're talking about prema? All this love is Krishna Bishayak prema. That is the highest purusharta, which is far beyond this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Far beyond means this, all of them put together. Everything that the all this... all the different philosophers are talking about, Gautam, Jaimini, Karnad, all these people. It's just, you can put all that and throw it out in the street with all the straw in the street. It has no use. It's ekani napai stiti. It's useless. It's meaningless. It's insignificant. So we start off Brahma Jignasa when we realize this world is miserable, and just like Gopakumar started in Govardhan and he ended up in Govardhan. So when we've come out of the pain of material existence, we're going to get free from that. And then if we're so fortunate, it's rarely attained, we can attain the pain of spiritual existence. the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, that samsara vasana, which binds us to this material world. Samsara vasana mo kobe tuccha hobe. Narottam Das sings, when will my desires for material enjoyment become insignificant? And then, then there's a possibility. Bishoy charya kobe shuddha hobe mon, tobe hamaharabo shri Vrindavan. When my desires for material enjoyment are insignificant, the mind is pure, then I can see Vrindavan. Then it's possible to actually see Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha pade huibe akuti, tobe hama bujbo she, jugal piriti. When my desires for material enjoyment I've surpassed that, and the mind is purified, I become qualified to study the books of the six Goswamis, and by them I will get darshan. They will give us darshan. They will let us see Vrindavan and understand the pastimes, the love, understand this love. When we've gone beyond samsara vasana, the desire for love in this world, then we can understand jugal piriti, the love of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Jadi chaho pranoy, what is that? Bairagi bai, grama kota ana shunibe kane, grama kota ana balebe jadi milebe ane. Grihistri charya bhai, grihistri charya bhai, ashe acha baneya. Piriti rakibe goranga charan. Not exactly, but it's something like that. That jodi chahau pranoy rakite goranga rasane grihe stri charya bhai ashe acha bane. This advice for those who are renunciants, that don't talk worldly talk. Don't hear it. When you meet with others, don't talk about worldly things. You've left your wife behind to come to the forest of Vrindavan. And if you still have any feelings for love, then you place that love. You make that love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Choto Haridasa Kota Take Jenamani. Just think what happened to Choto Haridas, renunciant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that he could even slightly have any attraction to females. Ashtakal Radha Krishna Sevibe Hriday. And all through the eight periods of the day, serve Radha and Krishna in your heart. So this samsara vasana, this desire for enjoyment of Krishna that is most appropriate for him and is most appropriate, most inappropriate for us, and most appropriate that we try to serve his desire for material enjoyment. You may say, well, why, if God made the world full of suffering, if God made the world and God is good, why did he make it full of suffering? Because it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, which is full of suffering. Oh, and what's in between? The impersonal Brahman. But that suffering is bliss. Radharani, she is Haladini Swarupini. She is personified bliss. And therefore Krishna, he doesn't find bliss in, no disrespect to Aishwarya Rai, but he doesn't go to Bollywood movies to see all the beautiful bodies of Krishna. He enjoys with Radha. She's actually, this beautiful women of this material world, or beautiful anything of this material world, is simply a perverse reflection of the real beauty of the spiritual world. And that's why the actually advanced devotees, who's actually relishing the love of loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, they see this loving affairs of this material world, which is considered the best thing, the nicest thing. They consider that most abominable. How can you be attracted to this when Krishna is attracted to Radha? What's wrong with you? Why are you attracted? What is this? It's an abomination. That is their feeling. Radha is all bliss, and Krishna can't enjoy with this flesh and blood women. He can enjoy with Radha, he can enjoy with Sita, he can enjoy with Lakshmi. That yesterday we said, Uma, Satya, Satya, Chandra, Rukmini, Shabe, Radha, Avata, Amnai Bani. This Uma, Shiva's wife, Shachi, Indra's wife, Satyabhama, Chandrabali, Rukmini, they're all avatars of Radha. They're all manifestations of Radha. That is the instruction to be found in the from those who are in the actual Vedic line. So Uma, Krishna doesn't enjoy with her. That's for Shiva. And Shachi, she is the wife of Indra. So Krishna, he's got the topmost position of enjoyment in this material world in terms of sensual enjoyment. There's higher than the Swarga Loka is the Mahajana Tapa Satya Lokas, the planets of the rishis, but they're enjoying Brahma Sukh, spiritual happiness, at an initial level, they're enjoying that. But as far as Sangsara Sukh, Vishaya Sukh, Sangsara Vasana, Indra enjoys that most of all. So that's possible only because a minuscule portion of the bliss of Radha is lodged in Shachi, the wife, who's the wife of Indra. Only Indra is eligible to enjoy her, not Nahush or anyone else, even though Nahush is so pious. So anything, any beautiful woman, even for that matter, a beautiful donkey, female donkey attracts the male donkey. What is that attraction? That's a perverse reflection of the attraction that Krishna has for Radha. Perverse in as much as it's not the real thing, and the perverse in as much as it distracts us from service to Radha and Krishna. The real bliss is in the spiritual world, full of pain, yes, but it's bliss. And that will be misunderstood by materialists. By anyone for that matter. It's misunderstood all the way up to Mathura. It's the Vaishnavas of the Sri Sampradaya, they are gracious enough that they're not going to blaspheme it, but they're not going to talk about it either. But they don't understand. We can understand. Do we understand? We don't understand. We understand a little bit, something, otherwise I guess you wouldn't be sitting here. If I was actually talking absolute, complete nonsense, if I'd been sitting here for the last few days saying that the Titanic was actually the Titanic ship was actually a UFO and it got and they sunk it because there was some intergalactic conspiracy, someone would believe it. I say, oh, you solved the mystery. Someone would believe it. But I don't think you would believe it because, and you wouldn't be interested either. And then maybe there are intergalactic conspiracies, but what the hell do we care? We know for sure there's an intergalactic conspiracy. It's called Maya. It's just, we're part of it. We're willing participants in our own downfall. So something is understood, something is understandable, and therefore Jiva Goswami made this six sandarbhas. He didn't write them for Radharani or for Nanda Maharaj. In one sense, he wrote them for Rupa Goswami. Not that Rupa Goswami needs to be told that actually Krishna is Bhagavan is supreme, there's Paramatma, and all. He wrote all these things primarily for persons who are interested in Siddhanta. Siddhanta balaya chitta ina karaha alash iha hoite Krishna lage sudra ramanosh. People cannot just try to understand the conclusions of scripture. Don't be lazy in this matter, because by understanding this, one's mind can be strongly attached to Krishna. We should be interested in what is the conclusion of Krishna, the conclusion of Shastra. The ultimate conclusion of Shastra is that Krishna has become, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become like a deranged idiot running after, crying in the forests of Vrindavan, crying out, "Where is Radha? Hey Radhe, Rajadevi ke chalalite." He's calling out, and the Goswamis are also calling, "Hey Nanda Sunar Kutaha." Who's going to believe that? Who will believe it? Therefore, Jiva Goswami, he wrote all these sandarbhas, step by step, methodical. First of all, we have to accept the Vedas. The conclusion of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam describes Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman. Bhagavan is the ultimate feature of the Advaya Gyan, indivisible ultimate truth. Bhagavan, Krishna's to Bhagavan, Swayam Krishna, is that Bhagavan. Bhagavan is attained by bhakti, therefore we have to perform bhakti and ultimately come to priti, prema prayojana, priti sandarbha, last one, in which he. So all these things Jiva Goswami has given. So what are we going to do? We're going to read all the six sandarbhas. I actually, in the history of Gauriya Vaishnavism, very small percentage ever studied the six sandarbhas of all the Gauriya Vaishnavism. So many must have gone back to Godhead, but very few have understood. Very few have gone through. For acharyas, they may go through them for explaining. To present, we can say there was no commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, there was no Gauriya commentary until Baladev Vidyabhushan made his Govinda Bhasha. But actually there was, and that was the Shatsandarbha of Jiva Goswami, which is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It brings out methodically, not going through it verse by verse, that he later gave as Krama Sandarbha, reorganizing all the six. And actually, all this Jiva Goswami's writings, they're based on Gopal Bhatta Goswami's writings, actually. Jiva Goswami organized them, expanded them. Gopal Bhatta also for Hari Bhakti Vilasa. He made the draft, and Sanatana Goswami expanded that, as far as we know. So Jiva Goswami gave all these, but devotees, Gauriya Vaishnavas, they don't go through all these. But for Gauriya Vaishnavas, what is essential for us? Gita, Bhagavatam, that's essential for all Vaishnavas, except in Ramanuja line, they study the Vishnu Purana rather than Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually, more famous among the, or studied, we can say, in general, among the Sri Vaishnavas is Ramayana. And they find all the rasa in there, between Sita and Ram and Hanuman, and they find that there. Otherwise, all the Vaishnavas they respect Srimad Bhagavatam. But one thing we have, oh, not one thing, but we have the specialty, how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially the introductory chapters, we will find it's a summary of everything in the Sandarbhas. Just like Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan, the fourth verse, I believe it is, of the Mangalacharan of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yadadvaitam Brahmopanishati tadapyasya tanu bha ya atmantrayami purusha iti so sangsa vibhavaha shadaishvarya purno yaiha bhagavan sasvayamayam na chaitanyat krishna jagati paratattvam paramiha. So there's the supreme is Bhagavan, he has his features. Advaita, you're attracted to Advaita? Yeah, okay, it's in the Upanishads. You said, well, Madhvacharya won't agree, but for the sake of argument, we can say in the Upanishads, there's Advaita, but that what does Advaita describe? That Brahma, impersonal Brahman, that is his bodily luster. The Paramatma feature, described in Paramatma Sandarbha. Brahma is described also a little bit, Paramatma Sandarbha. Then Brahma is described extensively in Shankara's commentary, Sharirika Bhashya, on Vedanta Sutras. So that Paramatma, yes, and then expanded in everyone's heart. Then Bhagavan, full of six opulences. So who are we talking about? Krishna? Yes, Krishna. But Krishna is now Krishna Chaitanya. And this is the subject of the... And then all the subject, just like Bhagavan is supreme, that's largely a given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's written for Vaishnavas, composed for Vaishnavas. But then Bhagavan, he's Narayan, we find Krishna Sandarbha. Krishna Sandarbha describes how Bhagavan is supreme, yeah. And up to that point, he hadn't discussed, Jiva Goswami, much about who is Bhagavan exactly. And Vishnu. But then if we're going to get really into it, then Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. And that is established in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Preeti, the important subject, comes up in the fourth chapter and beginning. And then through the whole, we come to the Preeti love and how the love of the gopis, the love of the Vrajavasis, it surpasses that of Vaikuntha. So it's all there. It's summarized in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. They form the introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita and then the pastimes and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are elaborated. So we do need philosophy. There are various reasons. I was saying we don't need philosophy, but we do need philosophy. And one of the several reasons why Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered by everyone, both scholars, by all scholars, both devotee scholars and outside scholars, honey bottle lickers, who study, I can't imagine why they study Gauriya Vaishnavism to get a PhD. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the eighth chapter of Madhyalila, talks between Raman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. One should try to get a PhD from Ramananda Rai, the topmost scholar. So I can't imagine why they study all this stuff and they just write in a way, well, according to the Gauriya Vaishnavas, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean according? It's a fact. Yeah. That's licking the bottle from the outside. And Radha is conceived, or she's not conceived, she is Haladini Shakti. But you can't taste that bliss if you're just writing a PhD and saying, well, Some scholars have said this, and some scholars, but I brought some new evidence. They may have some use also, the scholars. Somehow they're thinking of Krishna. At least one of them, many, I saw some video of a conference that was held maybe less than 2 years ago in Harvard, in which all these scholars, they met with devotee scholars, and you can see that they're affected also. They're not... They have to maintain their scholarly dignity and neutrality and all this kind of thing. I read one book. I read so many nonsense things. But one I read by a scholar who, she said, she'd written about Navadvipa and Mayapur. And she said, she's a scholar from Cambridge. She's actually Bengali from Calcutta. I can't remember her name. So she said, one morning in Cambridge, I woke up early in the morning just as the sun was rising, because in the summer in England, sometimes the sun rises maybe 6 o'clock, which is early for mundane scholars, some of them, most of them. So I woke up early in the morning, saw the sun rising, and because she'd spent so much time with the Gosais in Navadvip, who they meditate upon Radha and Krishna's pastimes, so she, my first thought, oh, now it's time for Radha to rise. And then I gathered my scholarly consciousness. She was just saying how much I was affected by all of this. I have to admit, I was emotionally affected also. But then when I saw the sunrise and I thought, now it, Radha must be rising, then I gathered myself and came back to my scholarly intelligence. Better you didn't gather yourself and your scholarly intelligence. Why do you want to do that? They're studying all these people in bliss and just like a chemist, something, a chemist, this writing something like that. Bishoyacharya Shai Rashe Mojiya. They can't give up their attachment to this material world. They can't enter the bliss. They have the bliss of getting a PhD from Cambridge University. They don't get the bliss of getting a PhD from Ramananda Rai. They may study Ramananda Rai, but they won't get a PhD. They'll make their I got my PhD about Ramananda Rai. And Prabhupada says we should get a PhD from Ramananda Rai. He says in that purport, you can't accommodate an elephant on a dish. we're going to put the talks of Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're going to put them in a book. We're going to understand. Yeah, no, I read the book, now I understand it. There's a little booklet by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarthakar called Rai Ramananda. And in the first half of the book, he describes all the pastimes and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet Rai Ramananda. He said, this is all. And then in the second part of the book, he says, that's all external. Now we'll discuss what they discussed. That's all external. Eho Bhaja, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing so many things. That's external, that's external, that's external. So it's very high topics, no doubt. We don't need philosophy. Yeah, we do need philosophy. We do need Bhagavad Gita. We do need to study Bhagavad Gita every day. We do need to understand Yang Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyaistavai. We do need to understand that Krishna is the person to whom the demigods offer all their homage. But that for the Gauriyas, they don't neglect that, but for them that's... Knowing that is not their prayojana. That is not their ultimate aim. They study all of this. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Puri, he who has come, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Surupam, he who is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Krishna, who has taken the bodily luster and feelings of Radharani, not exactly the form. He still has a male form, because when Malini was at Advaita Patni. She came, Sita Thakurani. When she came and she saw the newborn child of Sachi, she understood from the bodily features, this is Krishna. So bodily features are like Krishna, but the color is of Radha. And feelings are of Radha. So this Krishna has come to relish the feelings of Radha and to tell others. The whole world of sane people. Sanity means to understand Krishna and praise Krishna. And Krishna sometimes says, what are they praising me so much for? I'm just a foolish vagabond at the lotus feet of Radha. They should praise her. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell people Radha Mohima, Prema Rasa Shima, the glories of Radha, which are the ultimate limit. There's no limit. You can't find the limit. But if you want to use that word, you can, because Basu Ghosh and Narahari, they use that term, the ultimate limit. So he has come, and Gadadhar also comes as Radha, just to protect him, because she's afraid that how can he tolerate such pain? So she comes as Gadadhar also, and she protects him all the time. One time Krishna, he was lamenting, when he was at home in Navadvip, he was lamenting, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And Shachi, his mother, told him, oh, he's in your heart. So then he started ripping his heart, ripping his chest to find Krishna. And Gadadhar came, no, don't worry, come. Krishna's coming soon. Then Gadadhar, Shachi Mata told Gadadhar that you're a very intelligent boy. You always stay with my boy Nimai to protect him, because she didn't say, but she knows he's crazy. He can do anything, anytime. Gadadhar had that service. So he's remained with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout his life. Actually, then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, then we find in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Gaur Bhagavan, the name is given, Gaur Bhagavan, Gaur Narayana. We don't find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As long as he was in Navadvip, well, especially before he started his Sankirtan Leela, he was in the mood of being Krishna, being Bhagavan. Then he came to Puri, he was in the mood more and more. He was the mood of Radha, was overtaking him more and more and more and more and more. And then the protecting him, the service became taken over by, Gadadha was exiled to the beachside. You stay there and worship the deity. And then Swarup Damodar, Lalita, he had to protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda was there. Prabhu Ringit, Govinda Sabjani. Govinda knew everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his habits, all his gestures, everything. But the inner life, Swarup knew. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, any time, any moment, he could just become totally lucid and become totally insane, which he did. But Swarup knew what to sing, what to say, exactly, because Prabhu Abhishtata Kai Bakamon, he's completely absorbed, his consciousness was the same. He completely understood the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gadadha was there, Radha, in Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would daily go to listen Srimad Bhagavat reading from Gadadhara. And what did they read? Especially the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Now, isn't that astonishing? So it's not that we're not to read 9 cantos of Bhagavata. It's not that we're to read only 9 and then the 11th canto, very, very important. We should not neglect that. All the cantos. Prati shloke, prati akare, nana artha koi. Every verse, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam has so much depth of meaning, because none different Krishna from Krishna. Krishna tula Bhagavat, Vibhu Sarabhashroy, none different from Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we shouldn't neglect to go through this, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not neglect to go through all this. And for Gauriyas to understand the greatness of Krishna, that helps us to better appreciate that when Krishna is being tied up by Mother Yashoda, or by Radha, or by the gopis, Mother Yashoda is not the only one to tie him up. Don't believe everything that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's more. That's why Rupa Goswami came and he gave so many more pastimes. And people say, oh, we don't believe it. It's not in Srimad Bhagavatam. But so when he's tied up, who's being tied up? That is young Brahma, Varanindra, Rudra. That is the one who is glorified by so many great personalities. Then we can appreciate that Vraja Rasa more and more and more and more. As we, by understanding he's so great, then we have faith he can help us, he will protect us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the road going to South India, singing Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Pahimam. So we have faith. I'm stuck down in this gutter, in this samsara vasana, this world of material enjoyment. But Krishna will look after me. Krishna will maintain me. Krishna will help me. That is our faith. We have to have that faith. Krishna can do anything. He can swallow a forest fire. He can manifest millions of universes from his body. Yasyaika nishvasita kala matava lambeji vanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. He can, simply by sleeping, he manifests millions, by his kala vishesha, by a portion of himself. Krishna can do. Krishna can look after me, Krishna will look after me, but if we're to enter actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu most wanted to give, then this knowledge of Krishna's opulences, at some point it becomes a hindrance, because gopi anugatta vina aisharja jnane bhajileho napai brajendra nandane. To get Krishna in Vrindavan, knowledge of Krishna's opulences, that won't help. If we worship, we have to worship him following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So again, it's a paradox. There's a paradox. Again, the Buddhists, they love paradoxes. The sound of one hand clapping. It's a paradox. But the paradoxes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, they're full of rasa. And then there's no rasa in Buddhism. No, nothing. Nothing there. Nothing. And that's their greatest delight, to nothing. And we end up, whatever it is, we can't say we don't know, but we sure want to go there. That's the desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts in our mind. And I'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Krishna willing, more tomorrow. And in the meantime, parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayang vicharya ayamaha. Hari rasa madira matta. Hari rasa madira madati matta. Bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. In the meantime, we will roll on the ground and dance like madmen, and we don't care what other people say. And don't roll on the ground. You have to build a temple. Later you can roll on the ground. Right now you have other things to do. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vanchakalpatarubhyas chakra.